CliffCentral.com.
Yes, it's a Wednesday, and we're gonna make Wednesdays great again. And it's gonna be a hump day, and you're gonna hump your way to Thursday, yeah. You didn't think that song had lyrics. Well, there we go. Those are the real lyrics. When we wrote it, that was what we decided to put in. But we took them out because Donald Trump used them in his campaign.
I was gonna say, I didn't realize Donald Trump would be joining us this morning.
Oh, let me tell you. I have amazing plans, tremendous plans. It's going to be great. Amazing, wonderful things. The best. I have the best plans.
Of course you do.
I'm not going to give you any detail, but the best plans.
You mobs, you look older.
Oh, good God. You know what?
It was nice
seeing you. See ya. Well, have a good day further. I'm out.
We had such a fun day with my buddy yesterday, and she's pitched up this morning. You look quite glamorous in your orange duk.
Yes.
And that matching top. You definitely outdress the rest of us, and that includes Sia, who usually looks quite fly. Mm-hmm. Sia and I went to a meeting the other day, and he was all stressed out because it was he didn't feel he was dressed appropriately.
Yes.
Do you remember? He actually was thinking whether he had clothes in the car that he might want to change into.
And I wasn't even joking, I was going to change.
Do you keep a change of clothes in the car?
I sort of do, but at the same time, I don't want my entire wardrobe in the car as well. So
I keep a here's what I keep.
Yeah.
A little tug bag with like basic stuff, a toothbrush, toothpaste, hair stuff.
Oh, that's like Armageddon.
No, hang on. No, because you never know.
Yeah.
Like you could have to do an emergency trip somewhere. You know how things happen. You could end up having to spend the night at some skeverish's house.
Hey, I think you know about that.
I know about that. I've planned that. Sia knows all about that. I know. And Mabalid too.
I think you know that won't happen is what I meant.
Oh, with Sia?
No, with you.
Oh, with me? Oh, you don't think so?
No.
Okay.
Thank you, Ben.
Well, I have had occasion where it was not worth going home because there was just not enough time, or I was rushed, or I was tired, or I was drunk.
Yes.
And it has been a lifesaver. And then I keep a black T-shirt, plain black T-shirt, and a pair of jeans, a pair of sneakers, and a top so that I don't get cold if it's cold. And that's it. Everything you need. All you need is the rocket experience.
Oh, but that's I think it takes away the anxiety in life.
It does. And it also means you can make spur-of-the-moment decisions.
Yeah.
Like I could, with that bag alone, I could spend the night in Cape Town. You know?
Well, where's the 10 liters of water, though?
Oh, that's true.
Yeah.
But they did get 1.5% extra water in the dams. Yeah. So everybody's celebrating.
See, because
it's going to be a festival this weekend.
I at least have a jacket and a change of shoes. When you wear all black, that at least changes the outfit out a bit.
Well.
But you caught me off guard that day.
I'm sorry, Sia.
It was a little hoodie jeans. Ugh.
But we did have we had a very interesting meeting. We actually went to Facebook here in South Africa. Such nice people we met there. Such impressive people. So smart. I mean, obviously, they'd hire smart people. They can hire anyone they want.
They have to.
Yeah.
Such cool offices as well.
Very. I'm impressed at how much stuff is going on in this country. And I'm not talking about the things you read about in the papers, because that'll depress you. And if it's politicians you're talking to, that'll depress you. But the thing about the ordinary you and me's who are trying to make a difference, we're trying to earn a living, we're trying to derive value out of the economy and inject some back in. You know, those are the people who keep the wheels turning, and there are a lot of them. And we must never forget that those people are the ones that make South Africa an interesting place. It's not the leaders, and I say that in inverted commas, because the whole problem with South Africa at the moment is we don't have any kind of leaders. Certainly not anyone who we can rely on, who's got our interests at heart. You just have to look at the news to know that the politicians are the ones who care about us the least. All of them. They don't care. It's all about them. Right?
Yep. Mm-hmm. Spot on.
So you go around to these businesses, and I'm talking about small businesses. I'm not talking about the big multinational corporations. And you see a guy who fixes geezers. You see a woman who's selling pot plants. You got people who are providing meals. Back in September of last year, I remember I went to Bulelani Balabala's TEA, which is the Township Entrepreneurs Association. This was one of the most interesting things I've done. It was a Saturday morning, and I flew back from Cape Town that morning so I could be at this event because I'd said I'd be there, and you know, I don't like to break promises on that kind of front. And I arrived in the middle of Tembisa at this community hall. And there were all these people, all these entrepreneurs. Everyone from young to old, they all had ideas. Everybody. The one guy was making chairs out of tires. The other guy was busy preparing like a door-to-door delivery service, which he'd started up with a bunch of unemployed people who were going to be the essentially mailmen for that area. And it was working. He had a business plan. He'd got a little bit of funding. There was an old lady who had a recipe book she'd printed herself and published and was selling. And she was like, it was a real business. And there was another girl who was busy doing, she was young. I mean, she was like 16 or 17. And she was making meals, healthy meals that she would distribute around the township for a fee. I mean, this is hard work, but these people were making a difference. As people like that that I wake up and I have respect for, and you know, you sit in traffic and you think, well, what's this all about? It's that. And you imagine, each of those people's probably supporting two or three people at a minimum, right?
Sure, exactly. But Gareth, the more you think about these kind of things, the more you realize that, and I've said this before, Hollywood gives you the wrong idea about how life is. Life is a constant struggle. You've just got to try to be less crap than the rest of people. So you've got to work every single day.
Yeah.
Like every single day. And in doing so, you can actually find really good things that can make a better life for everyone.
Yeah, yeah. Forget this idea that you're going to just sit on your backside and everything's going to come to you.
And like your life's going
like
to be
like the Kardashians.
Yeah.
You're not Kim Kardashian, you know?
Yeah, I always say they're the exception, not the rule.
Right.
And they're also not like what you should aspire to, because that's their little niche they found. Mm. They put out, they show the world everything. That's their thing.
Well.
Like if your thing's making healthy meals for your community, that's your rock star moment. Like that is your
damn right.
keeping up with what you're doing thing.
And that is way more effective and useful to the people who you are serving than watching a TV show that was made in Hollywood. Ryan Seacrest is busy profiting off. Right?
Yeah, Ryan Seacrest has his niche, but
sure.
that's not your niche.
I watched this ridiculous show last night where they showed the life of a paparazzi, a photographer.
Oh.
A paparazzo, I think the singular is.
Oh, I'm sorry. So paparazzi now have their own TV shows?
Well, no. It was one of these ridiculous shows on one of the entertainment channels, and I normally don't watch them. But this one, it just happened to be on, and I was sitting in front of the TV eating like an idiot. And this guy, he went to the theater where they were filming Britain's Got Talent, and he was waiting outside for a picture of David Walliams and Amanda What's-Her-Name and Simon Cowell. And
the paparazzi.
The paparazzi, exactly. And this was the most stupid existence, and I thought, what a horrible job to have to take pictures of famous people for a living, and you asking them the whole, Simon, can I have a photograph? Simon goes, no. Pushes past.
The paparazzi.
The paparazzi, exactly. Simon Cowell. Imagine taking pictures of him. That's your job. What did you do today? Well, I delivered 50 meals in Tembisa. And what did you do? You with a camera. Oh, I took a picture of Simon Cowell. Guess who's adding value to humanity out of those two people?
Yeah, there's new
one. On a scale of 1 to 10, rate them both. I dare you.
See, the glamorous factor of that is slightly gone. You think of where the term even originated from back in Italy.
Yeah.
And, you know, there was this beautiful, you know, Italian TV star leaving her villa and you were following her.
Yeah, it
was now you exciting. Just get Britney Spears going through a meltdown.
Right.
And Misha also like, Barton crashing into a building.
And now you're just a creep, actually, if you just follow these people
you
around.
You are. And they use these long lenses and it's just bullshit.
Rummaging
Speaking
through
of,
someone's dustbin.
So I asked Amanda yesterday, I said to her, well, what's because we were talking about, you know, I'm going to Germany and all the rest. She said she hasn't been overseas yet. And I said to her, well, where would you go? And here's the most interesting answer. She said she would like to go to Vegas to have seen Britney Spears. But now that she's not doing that anymore, there's no point. She's just going to stay in South Africa.
Oh.
That's more or less what you... I mean, you're a huge Britney fan. I didn't know that about you.
I love Britney. I think she's like... I think she's amazing. I don't know. I don't think you get better.
And then you rattled off. You were like, well, also Michael Jackson and Madonna. And
those are my main three people I would love... Well, yeah, not Michael now, but I would have loved to see them.
Well, you can still see Madonna. In fact, if you wait long enough, she'll be at the Victory Theatre. You just have to hang on a bit.
Yeah, you just got to chum her with Latino boys. just have three or four of them.
Yeah, that's your she'll be there.
So, I mean, you've got kind of old school tastes.
No, I love a little bit of old music, eh?
Except, did you hear the music that she was playing in the car yesterday?
Oh, wow.
Oof. Yeah, that was a lot.
No, I don't have my, have my cable here.
You've got to give more. What was she playing?
Okay, wait, let me
show you.
Let me see.
Ben, can you plug that one in?
Okay, so obviously we're talking about what was going down in Amanda's car.
Lucas recorded this, unbeknown to Amanda. So she and Zama, who is hanging out with us at the moment, the two of them are into like real techno beaver music. I don't even know how
trance.
It's horrible. Whatever it is, it's really awful stuff.
Techno beaver.
I don't know.
Okay,
go.
You ready there?
Yeah, go for it.
I suppose there's no point even explaining. Just get some of this.
So listen.
Somehow, it's just music.
And Amanda's like driving her car really fast around corners with this plane. Wow, huh? Isn't that great?
I can taste the tequila at the back of my throat.
Yeah, but
right
this
now.
Is during the day. Ooh. This is yesterday at about, 11 o'clock, somewhere around there, you guys.
You should have seen what I was listening to this morning. When I actually got you, I was like, there's something wrong with me. It's so early, and I am having a little bit of a...
But how on earth do you not get out of your car and punch the first person you see when you're listening to that? Amanda, it's amazing how you're so sweet and serene and placid.
Amanda, would you ever been part of the Jersey Shore?
Of course.
Would I be part of it? Of course.
See?
That's like the best show. It's the closest approximation to... That's why they call themselves, what, the
Isandervale
Shore. There we go.
I don't know. Let's just put it as you have a very, very...
Well, I don't want to spoil anything, but soon there's going to be a new part of the show called East Randers.
Ah!
I'm excited about this.
And Amanda's going to get various people in the East Rand to give us stories about their lives. I think it's going to be fascinating. So if you're an East Rander and you want to submit yours, send them to us. Sia will take those emails, right? SIYA@cliffcentral.com.
Yeah. Easy to remember.
He'll throw them Amanda's way. She'll vet them to see that they're not bullshit.
And to see if you're not lame.
Don't be lame, please. For the love of God. All right. A few things. Yesterday, the Renegades had an exclusive. I don't know if you saw the whole Helen Ziller furore. We'll get into that with Mabali later on in the news. I didn't watch it because I'm tired of politics. I really am. I'm just tired of it. Plus, I don't like this Helen Ziller thing. It's just a stupid situation. The whole thing is stupid. In the big scheme of things, we've got a finance minister who doesn't understand why the economy's tanking. We have people who are jobless. We have major, major crisis, and we're worried about some tweet from a woman in her 60s. Again, it's just a distraction. We're stupid. It's like that whole Penny Sparrow distraction, which it turns out was intended by Belt Pottinger as a distraction. That's why they amped it up and they made it a big deal. So we would all start worrying about Penny goddamn Sparrow instead of worrying about the real issues, which was that the president and his friends had taken hold of all state-owned enterprises and were milking it like a dairy cow. Hmm. We're stupid. And this Helen thing's the same. I mean, I don't hold a candle for Helen Ziller. You know that. I've often mocked her. We've talked about toilets in the Western Cape any number of times. The DA has got major problems. But there is no way, I don't care how you try to sound balanced, There's no way you could take the DA's problems and equate them to the ANC's problems at the moment. And the ANC basically is Jacob Zuma's bitch right now, and it's just being used as a conduit for state funds to go into personal pockets. And that's outrageous. That's the real danger to this country. Isn't some minority party with their internal squabblings and some goddamn tweet about colonialization. It's stupid. And if you find yourself more drawn to that story than the story of your own country being captured, you don't understand what priorities are, in my opinion.
I'm just waiting for the day when we'll finally be honest with each other about how we all feel about each other.
Well, let's try.
I mean, we know how we feel about the other side when we're amongst ourselves at a braai.
Yeah.
But when we're all together...
No, then we pretend we're all friends.
Oh, we pretend we're all fine.
But that's how it works all over the world, so we must stop thinking we're special.
Yes,
do you think Republicans and Democrats in America aren't trying to be civil half the time? And, you know, I don't think there's anything wrong with Trump. They get home and they're like, that motherfucker. So just, let's stop it. We're never going to get to a point where everybody loves each other. That's stupid and childish.
And that is precisely the problem. We're all trying to get along when we know for a fact that that's just not how real life works.
Did people want Helen and Musi to tongue kiss yesterday?
Oh, no, we
like
already,
she did with Mampela Rampele?
No, we got enough of that from that era. Thank you very much.
Stop it. Stop being childish.
Then can I have, you know, African Dream playing in the background as I ask this question?
Okay.
What then, how are we going to have a united...
There's no united. There's human beings.
I didn't even finish that
There's
statement.
Human beings.
Listen, my buddy's climbing in.
And there's real life.
You're
now now deal with it.
Never been united.
Now deal with it.
As a great
And that's okay.
And that
Obama
is perfectly
said,
fine.
There is nothing false about
it. Never going to happen.
Just hold on to something.
Never going to happen.
No, look.
Grab the hand of your fellow
stop it. Listen.
Look him in the eye
I'm not saying
say, I love you.
I'm not saying we can't make great things happen. And we can't do stuff together as South Africans, but you're always going to have someone who says, oh, I'm white, I don't care about this, and blacks only care about that, and you're going to get colored people and Indian people who don't care about what the blacks and the whites care
That's
about.
That's why we should kiss, so that no one has time to say those nasty things. Just smack
Can we just have less kissing?
Herpes like, virus? No.
And don't force people. Don't force people to do stuff.
Yeah.
This whole idea, like Helen's on TV and she's going, I'm so sorry about this tweet. My tweet killed people. What are you, insane?
I'll
anyway,
hug you, Helen.
She was on the... I know you... I'll listen, you. Sia, you're everyone's friend, and that's great. And I do appreciate that. And there are lots of young people in this country who do want everybody to get along and kiss and make up. And maybe it'll happen, maybe it won't. But I don't think politicians are going to help us get there. I
Absolutely
really don't.
Absolutely not.
But that's the thing. You see, it isn't about the politicians. On a very serious note, when we... The most damage does happen in around the braai.
Yeah,
does happen in the car.
And it
does happen at schools. But this is where we also have the power to stop that.
Yesterday we were celebrating Mumps' birthday, and Rena brought up that we've been working together 10 years, right? It's too long.
Talk about old.
Oh, no.
But Mabali and I disagree about a lot of things. A lot of things. She's one of the few people in the whole world who challenges me about stuff. She fights with me about stuff, and I love it.
Yes.
It doesn't mean we have to agree on everything just because we get along or we work together or we have enjoyable social occasions every now and then. You don't have to love everything about someone for it to work. Look at relationships. People who are married, they have different political ideas.
Yes.
I love a good argument. A good argument means you've got a healthy relationship, actually.
But spitting venom isn't a good argument.
No, but
Bali even taught us that. And that's what is currently the conversation going
on. But this is because we're easily distracted, is what I'm saying. We're easily thrown off course. Don't you think for a minute that this whole thing isn't being hyped up by people who are in genuine shit? They're about to go to jail, some of these people, because they've been stealing from us. That affects you. At your bottom line, you're going to earn, effectively, your money's worth less now than it was a year or two ago. You realize that. That's not Musi and Helen arguing about colonialization. Trust me. That's about this current finance situation, which is exacerbated by one family who have got their claws so deep into us. And the economy can't grow, and people are losing jobs. It's a disaster. And you look at how easily we get pushed. Oh, well, the Helen situation is the same as the Zuma situation. It really isn't. That is what you call false equivalence. That's when Fox News tells you they're fair and balanced. Go to hell. We're not that dumb. Anyway, if you want to – the whole point of bringing this up.
Yes.
I don't even care about it this much. Why am I talking about this? Because the Renegade Report got an exclusive interview with Helen yesterday. She actually left the press conference. She said, I can't answer any more questions. And she got in an Uber and she came straight here.
Well, she actually had a pit stop at lunch first with her son.
Oh, right, all right.
I was just like, oh, in the midst of, like, such a crazy storm. Yeah.
Balance.
Exactly. Just chatting with her son, having lunch. She then came over here.
Moosey and I had a very uncomfortable situation. So, I have the lobster thermidor.
The mere fact that a freaking, you know, press conference was created for
the point
this.
Is, if you care about this at all, if you're interested in it at all, and lots of people are, and you want to be informed, don't listen to me. I wasn't listening to the press conference. Don't even listen to the press conference, because they can only fit so much in. Don't read a tweet and think you've got the details. Listen to the Renegade Report. I mean, this is let me give you a little snapshot of what we're doing.
Helen, thank you for joining us.
It's a pleasure.
It's an absolute pleasure to have you.
Between Roman and Helen, it's difficult to distinguish who smoked more in their youth.
No.
So, I mean, a bit of a quiet week.
Yeah, you know, business as usual.
Yeah, business as usual.
Another day at the office.
And I think the real lesson we have learned is to number tweets.
That is a good lesson. That is a good lesson. But I also think Twitter is a medium like no other. And I think whether someone is live tweeting you or just trying to get the gist of what you said, or whether you're tweeting yourself and whether they're numbered or not, it's a very, very complex medium. People think it's simple because it's 140 characters, but it's unbelievably complex.
It is. It is difficult to have.
So go and listen to that, because there's more. That's just a tiny, tiny snippet of what went on there. And it's a really worthwhile interview to take a listen to.
Mm.
All right.
She speaks about being a grandmother.
Right.
She speaks. Hey, she was even like, she spent some time chatting to us here
in the
afternoon. So she is fun. She wished you luck in Germany, but asked, like, why wasn't she invited? Because she's had her own fair share of social media down.
Imagine I get to Germany. Spirals. Like, or I get on the plane tonight and Helen Ziller's sitting next to me. What a flight that would be. That's you take the sleeping. Look.
She said, please put it a good word.
All right.
That's all.
Michelle, what's up?
Hi, Gareth. How's it?
What's happening, honey?
I just wanted to tell you that I think I was employed by Joe Jackson yesterday.
What happened?
I was unpacking sandbags.
Yeah. Oh, really?
And so carrying them from one side of the tank to the other side of the tank.
That's exactly what the Jacksons were. You're going to end up a great singer.
I'm not going to pretend that I can sing. I'm not going to pull a Sia. I know where I could draw my line.
Listen, I need to ask you this. Don't be upset and offended by me. Do you smell fishy? Like when you get home at night, do you smell like a whaling station?
I clunk.
Oh, Jesus.
Luckily.
How do you get rid of that
I smell?
I
smell like sad squid.
How do you get rid of that smell?
And penguin shit.
What do you do? I mean, do you have special, like, extra strong shampoos and...
You just showered, Gareth.
Yeah, I know.
Even though we have limited water, that smell does actually leave you. But you do become immune to the smell in the aquarium. So I often don't smell the squid.
Ugh.
Only until you encounter
the problem is,
you realize,
like, after I've cooked
them, lifting their nose, they must have a bit of a clunk happening.
After I've cooked a meal, sometimes I'm worried that some of the fat or whatever it is from the cooking has gone up, and I just smell that all day. It drives me crazy.
Yeah, but you're hypochondriac, so everything is going to smell bad for you.
I
live in a stinky environment at work, so, you know, you get over it.
I can smell you from here.
Well, that's how good your nose is. Luckily, mine isn't that good.
All right.
You guys have to live with my clunk, honey.
All right, Michelle. Have a happy day.
You too. Cheers. Bye.
We've got to get to Mabali's news. It's very important that we inform ourselves. The last thing you want is to go to the office today. Some person comes up to you and says, hey, what do you think of, I don't know, the Dudu Zane Zuma scandal? And you're like, what? Then you sound like an idiot. And people go, what, you're not informed? Not here. Here you get informed. That's what Mabale does. She's the best at it. It's time for the news, brought to you by Colcacchio's Pizzeria. I posted a picture yesterday of my San Siro salad from Colcacchio's. Yes, what a wonderful lunch. Remember I said I was going for lunch at Colcacchio's, and I goddamn well did it. I'm a man of my word.
Okay, so it was yesterday, in fact, that the DA announced that Helen Ziller will vacate positions in all decision-making structures of the party. The DA leader, Musi Maimane, says that Helen Ziller is, however, doing well as premier in the Western Cape, which is why the party decided to allow her to continue as Western Cape Premier.
Hi, my name is Helen Ziller. And
He added that the decision for Helen Ziller to step down from party structures was also in the name of reconciliation, saying it is an idea that even if we disagree, reconciliation is always better because we are better together. And I think that's important to take forward. I want to ensure that the party can move on and focus on the objectives of 2019. So she remains Western Cape Premier, but she has been removed, or rather she has vacated positions that will allow her to be involved in all decision-making structures of the party. Okay. Remember how yesterday Eyewitness News had a breaking news story about how Gert van der Merwe, who is the Gupta lawyer,
yes,
had been implicated in, you know, a whole bunch of stuff, including the fact that he was an accused, he had turned state witness, and that he was seeking indemnity in a 16 million rand fraud and corruption trial. Well, the attorney has said that he has no knowledge of any criminal activity involving a senior Limpopo MEC and a businessman.
Goebbels would have enjoyed that.
He has no idea what the report was about. To be more specific, the case involves Miriam Segabutla, who is the former Limpopo MEC, and businessman Johnny Lucas. The politician is accused of taking kickbacks from the businessman to secure tenders in 2010. And at least according to Eyewitness News, Gert van der Merwe was involved in the money laundering process of those kickbacks.
Rotten.
But he has said, No. I deny any knowledge of any criminal activity as reported in the news yesterday. I have no idea what any of you people are talking about.
fantastic, really.
According to this report, in an affidavit, van der Merwe outlined how he had laundered money through his attorney's trust account between the two parties. The report also said that he was now seeking indemnity from prosecution in terms of some or other act.
Well, I'm sorry. I think anyone who's done business with the Guptas ought to be run out of town. I don't think that people like that really have much space in South African society anymore. We can see what's happening here. We're not stupid. And I don't need to hear from Gert van der Merwe. If he represents the Guptas, there are 100 other clients he could represent. He has said, sure, I'll take your money. And he must take some of the heat that comes with it. Bell Pottinger had to learn that the hard way, too. You're in for a shitstorm, my friend. Brace yourself.
I think more than anybody else, he is prepared to brace himself. He's a lawyer, after all.
Yeah, you know, well... Then exactly. So then stop. Don't please play the victim and say it's not possible. I didn't do anything wrong. We're already judging you, and we're going to. That's our prerogative. The people of this country have a certain opinion about the Guptas, and I'm afraid you get tarred with the same brush. Sorry. So unfair. It's terrible.
According to the SABC board chairperson, Kanyisile Gweyama, there will be no golden handshake for Saudi Mutsoneng, who was sacked from the SABC over the last couple of days. They said that he will be leaving the broadcaster without a single cent.
Good. Golden handshake? They should go after this guy for everything he's got.
Exactly. How long has he been? $350,000 a month?
Yeah, how long has he been raping the treasury, making the SABC bankrupt? They've got no money. This guy's responsible for decisions that cost them money. They should go after him. Sue the guy in his personal capacity. Take away everything, including the shirt on his back. Teach people corruption doesn't pay.
Well, speaking of going after him, the Special Investigating Unit is still probing an 11 million rand bonus that was allegedly paid to Claudio Motsoeneng last year for a deal that he had negotiated with MultiChoice.
Yeah, can you imagine what this was? Do you know what happened there?
Remind me.
The SABC sold their entire archive of older TV shows to DSTV. They've opened that channel called SABC
Encore.
Whatever. They put all the old shows on there. Now, do you know what that archive is worth? I mean, there's news programming there, the history of this country. It's an archive of the people. And there's a lot of entertainment shows there as well, but...
What does selling it mean? Sorry to interrupt you. Does it mean that given, the SABC can't
ownership.
Use them?
They give up ownership of that content to DSTV. Now, are you telling me, first of all, that as a public broadcaster, you should ever be in a position to sell the history of this country, the archive of South Africa's people, to a private business? I would say no, and I'm not into state control of anything. But I think this is stuff that was generated by the SABC for the people of South Africa, a public broadcast initiative. To sell that to a private company, you could debate whether or not that's an acceptable move. I say maybe not. I say there's certain things that don't need a profit motive, that are about serving the country, that are the duty of the state to keep a history of South Africa. But then he gets rewarded for it. He gets a bonus for giving away our stuff. Are you kidding me?
Gareth, that's the weird thing, is that why must he make 11 million rand from this deal? Even if it is a deal that they needed to...
Let's just say part of his job.
But that's just it.
You don't get a bonus for doing your job. You pitch up for work every day and you make decisions that you think are good for the company. You're lucky if you just get paid, especially if you're the boss. If you're the boss, you're the last person to get paid, not the first one to take a bonus.
Can I play devil's advocate?
Please do.
Good luck.
So prior
don't
to...
Don't call him the devil. That's nasty.
No.
When did you become an advocate?
No. I mean, you know, you mentioned earlier that you and I often don't agree on stuff.
Right.
So let me ask you. Mm-hmm. So prior to SABC Encore, all this stuff was just sitting somewhere, mm-hmm. collecting dust.
Sure.
So where's the value in that? When you say that you don't think it's right for Saudi to have sold... You know, that part of the country's history.
They should be playing it. They should be showing that stuff. It's stuff they could make money off of, advertising revenue.
Mm.
He's got properties there. We have properties. As the people of this country, we own 14 radio stations. South Africa's people. We own 14 radio stations. We own 3 major television channels. And we can't fill them. Actors aren't being paid. Musicians aren't being paid. Talent is not being developed. There are no great shows coming out of the SABC right now, except the ones that they commissioned before Claudi. This 90% rule of his has destroyed their advertising model.
Well, that's something that the chairperson admitted yesterday.
Yeah, they've lost audiences across the board. You've now got not just a sinking ship, but you've got a ship that's already 3/4 underwater.
See, for me, that's why I wanted some sort of clarification as to what selling it means. Well, because now the SABC doesn't own that.
No.
All of this content that they've
created
for years.
I don't know what the period was. Maybe they've sold it for like 15 years or whatever.
Yeah, like a licensing something or the other.
They get it back in 50. I don't know what the deal is. But the fact that he should, this guy should be paid a bonus for just doing his job is crazy.
Can you imagine like the DSTV people having a talk about this? They're like, okay, is this guy seriously going to sell us this stuff?
Look how stupid he is. Let's take it. Whatever
he
wants.
Sure.
Give him the 11 million because it's clearly all about him enriching himself. Anyway.
Look, I mean, you know, they're probing this alleged 11 million rand bonus. So then when you hear this morning that he has been fired and will not be receiving a single cent, you kind of have to go, oh, well, I mean, he's fine. He got 11 million rand.
Right.
He doesn't need a single cent.
You know what? When I left the SABC, I resigned. I didn't get fired. I left with exactly what I came in with. I didn't get any bonus or golden handshake. And I'd done a hell of a lot more for the SABC than Claudi Motsoeneng. I'll tell you something. We took that audience from a couple of 100,000 to 2.6 million at its peak.
Jeez Louise.
I didn't get anything for that.
Yeah, you actually made the money.
We made the money. We had the most successful morning show they've had ever. Don't give me that, he needs a golden hand. Where's my golden handshake? You're going to pay anybody for helping the SABC. Where's my bullies? God damn it.
Yes, please.
Right. Let's check in with Ben, see what's going on in the sport. Ben, do you want your theme music?
Yep.
I love that. That's from some soccer show or something.
Yeah, I think it's just bed music that you can like. It's
some
it's
generic TV sport music.
It's very generic, yeah. So it's US Open week, right? So second major of the year. And this is a big deal for many reasons because the USGA puts together the US Open, right? And these guys always put together the toughest golf tournament in the world. So it's always known as like, if you can win the US Open, you can probably survive a concentration camp. It's just difficult. The rough's tough, the greens are ridiculously fast and hard, fairways are narrow, and the course is very, very long. Now, last year they had a bit of a boo-boo. They just acted like a whole bunch of dicks, and they ruined the tournament because they had this like suspended penalty over Dustin Johnson, yep, because his ball apparently moved, even though he didn't make it move. And the whole final round was just hinging on, is he going to get penalized, is he not? And then eventually they gave him a penalty. And they told him this while he was playing. It was just such a mess. Anyway, Dustin Johnson ended up winning it because he was just so much better than everyone else. But the USGA, these old, horrible men in blazers, just look like a bunch of dicks.
Mm.
So anyway, they're going to Erin Hills this year. Okay, now they're in Wisconsin.
Tell me about this Erin Hills. Lake, you said the rough is very impressive here.
The rough is huge, Gareth. It's massive. It's like overgrown fescue, and you can lose children in it. But the fairways are nice and wide, so it's a very different kind of US Open course. So even though the rough is perilous, there's 60 yards of fairway. Now, if you can just give me some sound on this one, Rory McIlroy's got some thoughts on this. Now, Rory McIlroy often speaks, well, rather candidly. So now, the rough is always a factor in the US Open, but now, because people have been bitching about it, they now want to cut it in certain places, and they have cut it. So this is Rory McIlroy's thoughts on this, and you got to appreciate his honesty.
Thoughts on the fescue kind of mow down that's going on out there?
What do you mean?
They seem to be cutting down a lot.
Really?
A lot of the fescue.
I mean, we have 60 yards from left line to right line. Like, you've got 156 of the best players in the world here. If we can't hit it within that avenue, you may as well pack your bags and go home. Like, I don't get... These are the widest fairways we've ever played in the US Open. And even the first and second cut, it's another 10 yards on top of that. You know, so if you've got 50 or 60 yards to hit into and you're complaining about the fescue that's wider than that...
All right.
Exactly. So, yeah, you can go into the rough and you can lose things, but just don't go in the rough. You're meant to be hitting the ball straight anyway. People just love bitching. It's so annoying. But then at least you get someone like Rory McIlroy who will just cut to the chase and say, look, just go home. Just why even bother? So that's going to start tomorrow. It is so huge. Tomorrow I'll give you all the sort of tee-off times and who you'll be playing with who. But the reason you should watch this is because this golf course is new and it's beautiful. It's the first time it's ever been played at this course. And yes, it will be long, but because it's nice and fair, it's going to be probably the most open US Open in quite some time. So yes, it's going to favor the long hitters. And if you look at the odds of who's really picked to win this one, Dustin Johnson, of course, is the overwhelming favorite. He is the defending champ as well. Hits the ball really, really far. And his game is just, it's so suited for this because he'll be hitting in like such short clubs because there's certain hills that help the longer hitters. Rory McIlroy is up there, but I don't think he's played enough golf to really be competitive. Jordan Spieth's always going to be very competitive. And the greens are a lot flatter than usual, so it'll be very interesting to see how many putts can be holed. I think a lot more than usual. Jason Day, again, he's always going to be a contender, but just not enough competitive golf and being in the hunt of late. And then John Rahm, everyone believes this guy's going to win many, many majors. He is like the new superstar in golf. And again, like it all suits these big hitters. So there's these guys, but then as you know in a major, if you can't handle all the pressure, you're going to choke it up pretty badly. So a big open US Open. It's very exciting. And yes, there will be some rough, but hey, big fairways.
Mm-hmm.
In football news, Bafana Bafana finally lost a match. They lost a friendly last night to Zambia, 2-1. But to Stuart Baxter's credit, at least he's trying new people. So yeah, it's nice to have these unbeaten runs and have all these little accolades because it makes you look good. But he's all about just developing his squad, getting the guys ready for the big games. And because it's a friendly, it doesn't really matter. The World Cup qualifiers and the AFCON are the big ones for him. He needs to get into these tournaments, so he needs to see what he's got in the squad. In other football news, Cristiano Ronaldo has been accused of tax fraud. We thought this is too good to be true, huh?
Yeah, this is a very big story, actually. I mean, it seems like it's quite a large amount of money as well, huh?
Well, Gareth, it is. It is. And we've seen the same happen to Neymar. We've seen the same happen to Messi, of course.
What is with these guys? Can't they employ a decent tax lawyer or tax auditor?
Yeah, well, that's a natural question. But then you also think about it, okay? So he's being accused of evading £13 million worth of tax from 2011 to 2014. But you know when people say people get caught doping? It's like a trace element in a something they didn't know about, and they're called cheats, even though it wouldn't really affect the performance.
Sure.
£13 million does nothing to Ronaldo, right? Absolutely nothing. When these guys make money, they make lots of money in very different streams, okay? So they're entitled to offshore bank accounts, they're entitled to this, entitled to that, and that's why they have these professionals. But the problem keeps coming up on these individual image rights. It was the same with Messi, and now it's the same with Ronaldo. These guys make so much money in different places that I think there's a legislation problem here. I'm not saying it's because, I mean, I obviously ripped the ringer out of Messi evading tax because it was funny. And Ronaldo could essentially be in the same boat. But now that we've learned all the different things, we've got a position of strength around this.
Right.
Is that I don't think the tax laws and stuff like that are really doing these guys any favors. And because they just make so much money, it's very different to, say, us evading tax. Like if one of us was pulled into SARS because we evaded tax, it's because we blatantly stopped paying.
Yeah.
With these guys, it's like, shit, you know, I didn't realize I got $8 million dollars from China for that thing. It's like the Guptas as well.
Mm-hmm.
So they're being scrutinized because they're huge names, but I don't think it's a really big deal.
Okay. All right.
Must not pay tax, but
at the same
time,
a lot of these guys, they don't necessarily come from money, so they've never really had to worry about this stuff before. Then they suddenly make huge amounts of money and they think, oh, well, this is my money. I get to keep it. They forget that they've got to pay some tax.
Well, yeah.
Hire their dad to do it.
I mean, in that regard, it's a crime. What I'm saying more is that they make so much money, it's almost impossible to keep track of all these other little things. And because of image rights being such a sensitive subject, I mean, we've seen people lose like their jobs over it. They've seen people have transferred away from clubs because of this. Right. People have been unable to transfer to certain clubs because of these laws and stipulations. Right. So I know it's a great story, and people like to vilify all the heroes in sport. I just don't think it's as bad as everyone makes out. I really don't.
Okay.
Rafael Nadal's left arm is taking a break. After a fantastic clay court season, he'll be missing the Argonne Queen's Championship. Advised to rest, actually, by his doctor. So that'll be that. But when you think about it, it's like Federer. He knows he's not going to win on clay, so why bother at this stage of the game? Nadal's left arm's probably not going to win on grass. Yeah. So
why bother?
So just take a rest. No biggie. Hard court season's still ahead. Things are going to go well for him. In rugby news, Andre Pollard has joined the SAA squad, or he will do as of Sunday. Now, he obviously had bad injuries, and now he's back into
it. This is our glass player, the guy who's talking to the town, and you can't get him on the field now.
Well, the thing is, Gareth, these young players get so overplayed. So anyway, he is back. He played a match for the Super Sport Rugby Challenge League last week for the Blue Bulls, and he believes that he can probably get back into it. But I just think that they always get rushed back into it. So we'll see how that goes. I'll tell you all about the box team tomorrow, because they'll be playing France this Saturday. In other rugby news, the Lions, the British Irish Lions, lost again yesterday. They went down to the Highlanders by 1 point. Good game, that. Very exciting. And the Baby Box, well, they went full Proteas in the last 5 minutes. After having a 5-point lead over the world champion English under-20 team, they lost 24-22. Composure. We need to get composure in this country. A little bit of pressure and everyone just loses their shit. And it's not just... I mean, that forward pack for the Baby Box is absolutely amazing. Their backs, though, not on the same level. So there is some positive to take out of that. No doubt there's lots of talent that can go from that team into the Box team. And that's pretty much it for the sport, Gareth.
Thank you very much, Ben. That's also the intro for the Money Shot today. Anthea is not going to give us the Money Shot, but we are going to speak to Selecho Tsatsi, who's on the line right now, and we'll go to Selecho for this morning's update. Let's see if they're over there. I'm not going to play the Anthea theme song because it would be wrong. She works hard for her money. Good morning, Selecho. How are you?
Morning. I'm great. How are you, Gareth?
Good. Nice to talk to you, man. So are you going to give us an idea of what happened in the markets yesterday? Because I haven't looked at it at all.
Yes. Yes, so I'll start with what's been going on domestically.
Mm-hmm.
The big story yesterday was Brait. The share closed 4.5% down, but at one point it was down as much as 8.5%. So it had somewhat of a fight back. And Brait, as we know, is an investment holding company with four major assets. One is Virgin Active, which we're all familiar with. Maybe not all of us, but we should be familiar with it. The other three are New Look, yeah. Iceland Foods, and Premier.
All right.
And so the big problem child for Brait yesterday was New Look in their results presentation. They reduced the carrying value of their investment in New Look by 75% in pounds, which is quite an eye-opening amount. And that was really the big contributor to the fall in Brait's NAV. So they reduced their NAV by 28% in pounds, and then because of currency and other investments, that translated to a 43% decrease in the NAV in rands.
Listen, this Brait.
So the share price was.
Selejo, I'm just thinking we should just dump it while we can, because it's just gone nowhere. Since I bought it, it must be down 40-odd%. It's a disgrace.
Yes, sir. Look, I'm gonna defer judgment to Anthea on that, but I think what I will say is we've been watching from the sidelines with Brait this year. I mean, it's down 29% year to date, and I think the trend with the currency seems to be a stronger rand in 2017, even with all that's going on politically, mm-hmm. and that's kind of another headwind that the NAV is gonna have to fight. So even if you disregard what's going on with New Look, just currency alone is kind of a big headwind for them.
Right. Okay. We'll wait for Anthea then. And you're very sober and sensible about this. I don't know. I'm feeling I'm feeling emotional. How much worse can this share get?
Look, it can always get worse. it can always get worse. I think that's one thing that the stock market teaches us very quickly.
Mm. All right. What else do you have?
Yeah, so also yesterday, Aspen was in the news again. I'm sure we all heard last month reports came out that the European Commission was investigating whether Aspen had allegedly charged excessive prices for cancer drugs. So we're talking price hikes of several hundred percent, which is obviously very politically and socially sensitive. But at this stage, there's no confirmation of this. There's also allegations that they withdrew some drugs in certain European countries or threatened to do so. So yesterday, our local competition commission announced that they will be probing whether there was similar conduct by Aspen done here in South Africa. Aspen released a statement saying that they're fully committed to the investigation and they're going to engage with the Competition Commission. Surprisingly, the share was actually flat. So I guess the market, after getting the news about what's been going on in Europe, has kind of just shrugged this off. But it is worrying to see this, this news coming out.
Okay.
Then offshore, we've had over the last 2 days somewhat of a tech recovery. On Friday and Monday, we had the biggest two-day decline in tech stocks since December.
Right.
There's been a lot of talk about the so-called FANGs. So that's Facebook, Amazon, Netflix, and Google, and whether their valuations are getting a bit out of hand. I mean, these stocks are basically the darlings of the U.S. stock market over the last 18 months or so. And some investors are now starting to worry, are we reaching bubble territory? Is this 1999 all over again? But the market shrugged that off yesterday. The S&P 500 and the Russell 2000, which is a broader version of the S&P 500, they both closed at record highs. So it looks like, investors are kind of saying maybe this is more of a buying opportunity rather than a justified pullback.
Okay.
And then finally, tonight in the U.S., we have the Federal Reserve who will be meeting to potentially raise interest rates. The general consensus is that they're going to raise interest rates by 0.25%. So that's expected, and we're not really foreseeing any surprises there. But what everyone's going to be focusing on is Janet Yellen's speech, the chairwoman of the Fed. We're going to be looking to see whether there's any clues on where rates are going to be going for the rest of the year. Because, as we know, we've been in a basically 0% interest rate world since 2007, 2008, which is now approaching 10 years, which is quite mind-boggling.
It is. It's incredible.
Yeah.
All right, man. Thank you very much, Selejo.
Thanks, Gareth.
Nice to speak to you this morning. It's Selepo Tsatsi, who is standing for Anthony this morning on The Money Shot. Just before 7 o'clock, cliffcentral.com. Lots to come, including Justice Malala for an early Wednesday. He's not available tomorrow, so we're going to speak to Justice just after 7. A Wednesday edition of The Burning Platform, which is brought to you by Nando's. I don't want to miss that. A lot of people, including, here's a nice comment for him, for Justice, saying, I don't listen to any political news. I only listen to Justice Malala because he's accurate, but most importantly, he's not depressing. So that's a good point from Ashley this morning. Let's get into your day, shall we? Wednesday, the middle of the week. Take a big deep breath. CliffCentral.com.